No, 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 no! Let's try something else. Hit it, Joe.
Three idiots sharing memories with fans who watched the show. It's the best of both worlds.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Best of Both Our Worlds, the official unofficial Hannah Montana podcast, the show where three, and today four, idiots share our memories of Hannah Montana with the fans, so that way you get a chance to see the other side of the best damn Disney show ever. I am one of your hosts. I am Jason D. Earls. It's true. That's my middle initial. I play Jackson Rod Stewart on the show.
I'm Shannon Flynn. I was a director and acting coach on Hannah Montana.
I am Douglas Dangerously Blind. And I was one of the writers and co-executive producers of Hannah Montana. And today we have a special guest host with us. She is none other than our first guest on this show, the incomparable Romy Dames.
I was so excited.
It's like imitable.
Best intro ever.
You're our honorary fourth idiot today.
That
so
is, I know. I felt touched when you said four.
And who are you, Romy?
Only, obviously, once I start talking like this, Tracy.
I love it. I love it.
Tracy Van Horn and the...
Otherwise, they would be like, who?
Yeah. They'll be like, what?
And I still think she should have been Tracy Ray Stewart. I think Jackson should have like snuck in there and put a ring on it.
I think that would have been awesome. It can still
She's
happen.
The star of the future Disney Channel show, Real Housewives of the Disney Channel.
It's Real Housewives of Rico's Surf Chalet.
Okay,
that's the
yes.
We want to thank you all for leaving all the comments, all of the questions in our YouTube videos, on our social media. So we would like to shout you out with our little Hannah Montana spotlight. We picked a few of our favorites. So Shannon, go ahead and hit us with the first one.
You bet. Faith Story Writer commented on Instagram. He's never going to give it up. We're never going to let it go. I almost thought you were about to Rickroll Jason right there. And the Shannon Flynn Babowpod replied with, ha, 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 ha.
I honestly thought you were too. When we were filming it, I was like, oh, she's Rickrolling me.
And that was because we named this the Hannah Montana Spotlight Doug's insistence on us.
Yes, I was being very resistant, but you convinced me. It was time. Let it go.
Never going to give it up. He's never going to let it go.
That's right. Doug, you got our other comment for today?
Yes, and I'm going to try to get through this one without tearing up because it's very sweet. Cole Kleinlin? I should be able to, as a guy whose name is Liebline, I should be able to pronounce this, commented on YouTube, as a closeted little boy who was running home to secretly watch Hannah Montana with my sister, this podcast means everything to me. Thank you guys for letting me relive some of my favorite memories with you. Thank you for letting us do it. We do it for you guys, and we couldn't do it without you guys. I love this comment.
Yeah, I mean, I think doing this podcast is sort of the same for us. We're reliving some of our favorite moments from, you know, way back when, and it's really fun to get a chance to share it with everybody. Now it's we feel the same.
Yeah, and again, we made this show just to bring joy to people and to know not this particular podcast, but the Hannah Montana. And to know we did change people's lives in some small little way is incredibly gratifying.
So keep them coming. If you guys
I say one thing really
you
quick?
You absolutely can.
Cole, if Miley were here, she would have said to me, Shannon, you're going to cry when you hear this. You better leave the room. It really did. It was very touching. Thank you.
I love that about Miley. She made fun of you a lot. So listen, if you guys think you want to be part of our Hannah Montana Spotlight, please.
Hannah Montana Spotlight.
Montana Spotlight. You're such a dork. If you want to be a part of it, continue to leave your comments on our YouTubes, on the Instas, on the TikToks, wherever you can leave a comment, a review, a question. We will read them, and we will keep featuring them in our little spotlight.
So tell me how I changed your life.
Yes.
Drop it in the comments down below.
So as we start this one, do you have what's your little sweet niblet for the top of this episode?
The episode we'll be talking about is New Kid in School. It aired on August 18th, 2006. The writer of this was the inimitable Todd J. Greenwald. Mm-hmm. And the director was Ken Shapiro. Our main notable guest cast in this episode, Cody Lindley. And
right.
We also had Greg Baker back for a scene as Mr. Corelli.
Yes, right. And this episode of Hannah Montana, the song title twist, was based on the 1976 Eagles hit New Kid in Town, written by Don Henley, Glenn Frey, and J.D. Souther.
I love it.
Yeah.
Team Jake, Team Jesse, anyone want to play the game?
I do.
I know. This is one of my favorite parts as we get through all these episodes, as we start to point out the Team Jake, Team Jesse stuff, because I have very strong opinions about this.
So do I.
So the question for my little sweet niblet this time is Team Jake or Team Jesse? Because if you go by who appeared in the most episodes, there's a very clear winner.
Okay.
All right. The controversial on-again, off-again boyfriend of Miley in this was Jake Ryan, mm-hmm. played by Cody Lindley, like you mentioned. The question is, how many episodes does Cody Lindley appear in Hannah Montana? And the bonus round, if anybody wants to play at the end.
Bonus.
Cody is one of four Hannah Montana cast members who actually ended up on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, really?
Okay.
There were four?
Yeah, we're going to try and name the other three and then tell me where they placed
at
the end. So this is a good one. I actually like this one a lot. This was a fun one to dig in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that I... Oh,
that is good.
That,
I can't answer that question.
And I've got a bonus trivia that I'll spoil now. I was actually asked to be on Dancing with the Stars the season after, and I did not do it, obviously.
Really?
Why not?
I know. It was almost five.
Mm. Well, I know one other because there's a famous story with the other one. But okay.
Yeah. Secret title.
Secret title of this podcast episode is We Had Zombies Before Zombies.
Yeah, we did. Yep. We sure did.
All right.
Doug, what was this episode about?
Well, let me read you a little synopsis if you haven't watched it recently. Miley feels frustrated when superstar actor Jake Ryan enrolls in Seaview Middle School and everyone treats him like royalty. Jealous of the perks Jake gets for being famous, Miley snaps and tells a reporter she's Hannah Montana. Dun, dun, dun. The reporter doesn't believe it, so Miley invites her to her house later that afternoon so she can prove it. But when Jake reveals to Miley how hard it is to be treated like an object and, you know, not a real kid, not a real person, Miley realizes revealing her secret would be a huge mistake. So, in order to convince the reporter... So in order to convince the reporter that she's really just a loony Hannah impersonator, Miley does a ridiculously bad Hannah impersonation while Jackson and Robbie play along. Meanwhile, Jackson, and this is a good one. This is another good meanwhile.
I know.
Jackson borrows his dad's new car for a date and accidentally scratches it, as you do. Mm-hmm. While unbeknownst to Jackson, Robbie accidentally gets the door of Jackson's car ripped off. Jackson discovers the truth and flips the power dynamic, forcing Robbie to cater to Jackson's demands until the door is fixed.
Oh, Jackson, it's a good one. Wins,
so
one.
Good.
Jackson
good
wins one.
Jackson wins one. Yep.
We love this. Okay, now that our memories are refreshed what this little monster was about, where did it come from?
Well, the genesis of this episode in the writer's room was we were fighting hard from the very beginning to do a romantic story arc. We knew that that would be something that was popular. We really wanted to do that. But the network from early on wouldn't let us lock in an air order. They wanted to be free to air the episodes in any order they wanted. And as we talked about in the last podcast episode, you know, they would take episodes that weren't their favorites and push them down the road a little bit, take episodes that were their favorites and air them earlier to hook the audience in. So we finally got to a point where we felt we were successful enough to push this agenda of please promise us you'll air these three episodes in a row. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
The Jake Ryan arc, so to speak, right? Yeah. So they wouldn't let us do that originally. And finally, we got to a point where we forced on them, we're going to do a three-episode arc. We're going to do this. And we pitched this idea that, and it started from the idea of what if, you know, that there was a kid that came to school that was more famous than Hannah, right? And Miley got to see what life would look like if she revealed the secret.
Right. Or equally as famous.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Sure.
I've heard of
famous in a different way.
Famous than Hannah Montana. You know,
famous in a different way. Yeah. And the idea here is that if you get to see and get to taste a little bit of that, you know, the juice you get from that, are you going to be tempted to make a different decision?
Right.
And they liked that story, and we sort of hooked them with that story. And then once they were hooked, we said, oh, by the way, we're going to do this romantic arc with the for the, so you got to lock into 3 episodes. And they were like, all right, fine. So that was a win for us. And that was where this kind of came from. In terms of a larger story. Now, in terms of the first thing we had to do when we sold them on this idea was create a star that was a believable, you know, rival for Miley.
Yeah.
So we created Jake Ryan, and I did, and I talked about this in previous episodes, I did fight hard to name him Jake Ryan because I was I still am a huge 16 Candles fan. So we created Jake Ryan, and then we needed to create this reason he was famous. So we created this show, Zombie High, for him. And for us, it was this sort of, it was like Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay.
It was based on Buffy. I was a huge Buffy fan, still am a huge Buffy fan.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. And so we created that. And then I didn't realize until rewatch, because it just was in my head, right? I always associated Jake and the show with Buffy. And then rewatching, I realized, oh, we created Disney Zombies. Literally, I mean, no, come on.
It's a bold claim.
We had zombies before zombies. I'm just saying.
A bunch of people that worked on those, so I'm going to take a step back from
the
claim.
Okay, but wait a minute.
Yeah.
Let me just state the facts.
All right.
Perhaps
No, it's actually just a huge coincidence. There's like a series of coincidences that lined up. So we were Seaview High. They were Seabrook. We had Zombie High. They had Zombies in High School. We had Cameron Manheim on the show.
Yes.
They had...
Played Selena Gomez's agent.
Yeah, right. Played Selena Gomez. And they had Milo Manheim, her son, on... There's too many coincidences. I watched this episode and went, they single white femaled us. 100%. Like, they just were like, we want to be you. And they just... So I was shocked at how similar Zombies was. But, you know, I mean, it's a coincidence.
I'll allow it.
My biggest feeling I had wash over me when I watched this episode was how big a frickin' douche rocket we made Jake Ryan. Like and I know we did it for comedy, right? But we went really far. Like, we knew all along what the arc was. We knew we had to get Miley to fall in love with him.
Yeah.
And yet we made him such a huge douche.
Yeah, you
like,
did.
Yeah, and we tried to buy it back at the end. I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
We tried to buy it back at the end a little bit, but no, he's
yeah,
a,
no,
he's
I,
a douche.
I agree. I have pretty much the same general reaction to Jake Ryan, like always. Whenever I think about the character, whenever I think about that in the Hannah universe, I have the same reaction. Although I will say that, like, rewatching it, I do feel like Jake is pretty likable in the beach scene when he's going up and talking to her and sort of apologizing for how everything went down at the school, and he does feel a little genuine. It does make sense why he would be attracted to her, because she treats him more like a regular guy.
Right.
So I would put that scene specifically in the what we did right part of Jake Ryan.
Yeah.
But I think
we went so far. That scene was intended to buy him back and humanize him.
It doesn't quite get there for me.
Yeah, it doesn't get there.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember that I have very much the...
the bio.
Sort of like reaction to him. And I know a little bit of my real life feelings as sort of the big brother-y, not liking any male guest stars that were on the show as they were around our
really?
Girl.
That's
I was always like, there was always an air of like skepticism.
Mm-hmm.
But Cody was always lovely on the set. And there was never an issue in that way. And he plays the role brilliantly.
Yeah.
But I was very much in the F Jake Ryan.
What was your impression of the Jake Ryan character as you rewatched this?
I was going to ask you guys when you decided that he was a love interest, because I didn't feel like he was a love interest watching this episode.
Even by the end of the episode where they're like...
No, even by the end, I did not think so. But I will say Jane Austen, every like mimic of Jane Austen does the Mark Darcy... He's an asshole at the beginning, so she couldn't possibly think of him as the love interest.
Yeah, that's exactly what we were thinking.
No, in addition to being a big K-pop fan, Stray Kids shout out again.
Yeah,
I watch a lot of K-dramas with my wife, and that is a huge trope. It's right. It's the incredibly rich asshole guy, and you're in episode one, you're like, you will never redeem this guy. I will never like this guy. And then by episode seven, you're like, I love this guy.
I know. Awesome. Yeah.
So that's where it came from, and those, you know, that's my memory of.
Yeah. Did you? What?
I loved rewatching this one because it felt like everything was firing really well. Like everybody we knew what their character was and stuff, and you know, I was still new as the acting coach, so I was like really loving like diving into still acting training and stuff like that with the people that we had, and then just a few like things that I remember that were behind the scene things, like Dandruff Danny, that his dandruff was made of potato flakes.
Right.
Like you can get a box of potato, you know, and add water and then it becomes mashed potatoes. And his dandruff was made of potato flakes.
Huh.
And
that makes it a little less gross knowing what it actually is made of. I was find that really off-putting. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, this was our first Dandruff Danny who comes back.
Yeah.
And Dandruff Danny actually plays a key role in a story that I'm going to tell in an upcoming episode about Miley. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember when they put the scratch. So when we shot these scenes, though, too, like we shot the scenes back to back. So when the door, you know, the fully intact car, Jackson's fully intact car and the Porsche. And then we filmed the next scene, which was, of course, when the door was off and the tarp preloaded on the car.
Yeah.
But that the Porsche scratch was made with an eyeliner or like a wax pencil or something like that, because we couldn't obviously
scratch
the car.
Yeah.
Although later, when Mama's car is demolished, we did like actually mash the car.
It was a much less expensive car to ruin.
Like I was remembering too, like when I was watching this, Cody's mom.
Yeah.
Was Cody's acting coach. They lived in Dallas, and she had a school in Dallas for young actors. She coached Miley for her audition for Hannah Montana.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
It was Miley worked with her.
I mean, she's a pretty well known acting school. Or
also
whatever.
Demi Lovato and Selena Gomez.
Makes sense because they were in Texas. Why was Miley in Texas to go to the coach?
I think they found her or they knew about her. And then
wow, she must be really good.
She was incredible. So it was great.
Yeah.
And Cody was sweet. He, you know, it's always awkward in the beginning when you're the new kid in town, and especially when you know you're going to be coming back, you know, to kind of find your place there. But what I loved about our cast was how welcoming, with the exception of Jason, how welcoming.
Oh, I know. He's just so competitive and mean. And
well, no, I did want to murder all the teenage boys that were on the show.
Yeah, it's okay.
You just stay. We don't cause any trouble on our set.
Yeah, but everybody.
Where do you think the Godfather bit came from?
I know.
But
everybody else was so welcoming because it was nice to have a new person that like you could relate to and made them feel welcome.
Those are hard roles to do that with too. In that like he's playing somebody who's really arrogant and egotistical, and so like most of your impression is like the work you're doing on the stage, and he's playing that sort of a character.
Right.
So in a way, you almost have to fight through that perception of like, is this guy really a dick, or is this, you know?
And also, if somebody is a little shy, even though they can get on camera and they can transform themselves, if somebody's a little shy and they're playing a character like that, sometimes it could come off like, oh, you're just you got cast because that's who you are.
You're playing yourself.
But it was also, it still felt like theater camp. Doug, were you part of the casting of Jake Ryan? Because I would love to know what this process was like.
The process for us was that you would go to Howard and Carol, and we would see that happening because it was in our offices. So the parade of, you know, 100 kids, and sometimes we would pick them out, but most of the time we let them do their job, and then they would come to us with maybe 10 or 15 choices.
Right.
And again, when you divide and conquer responsibility in that executive producer team, and one of us would be on stage, so I wasn't in the room for those 10 or 15, and then that writer who was there would pull out three or so for the rest of us to look at.
Got it.
Right? And Bongos on Rooftops let us know that some people were better in casting. So I got, you know, the writer's room out of it, basically. I was in the writer's room 90% of the time. And I was presented, basically, hey, what do you think of these three people? Yeah. And the network, too, and everyone weighed in on it. I do remember Cody being by far... Because, look, it's a very hard role. You have to be incredibly good-looking and a really good comic actor. Yeah. Usually, great comic actors... look like Jason. Anyway,
Wow.
I'm gonna get hate mail for that.
No, that's a good one. Like, I gotta give you the props when you.
But then,
you give me,
like,
gonna...
look at Romy.
Well,
blending both beauty and comedic chops.
I know. So Jason, this is how it's
done. Smoke and mirrors.
But no. So he was great because he looked the part and could do the part. So he was a clear winner.
I mean, and also to be able to walk that line between. Yeah. Like the douche being a douche and also being able to play that genuine part.
Jay, what about you?
First thing left out was just a guest cast. It's you get a little Amber and Ashley, you get Mr. Corelli, you get Jake Ryan, all like favorites that every time they come back, you're just like, oh, this is going to be a fun week. I remember they wouldn't actually let me drive the Porsche.
Yeah.
When there's the scene where
well, because you were only 18 years old.
That's the thing. Like, I was like, oh, sweet. I get to, even if it's like 15 feet, I'm going to drive the Porsche. And then it was like a bunch of grips that were just pushing the car in as I steered. And I didn't get to drive the Porsche.
You know, not to derail the conversation, though, I don't know what but I do know that on other shows that I've worked on, they cannot legally start the car on a closed set because there's no ventilation for the exhaust.
Right. Yeah.
So
and it's a noise issue, too.
Yeah.
There could be.
Yeah.
But
I feel like Billy Ray drove it in, though, when he did his own. I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Billy Ray marched to the beat of his own bongo.
Billy Ray starts to Billy Ray was like,
right?
That's so funny.
I remember he just
That's the back of the shirt,
one
by the way.
Time.
I marched to the beat of my own bongo.
Yeah there it is. All right.
But no, that makes
you
sense.
You looked really good in the car, though, I will say.
Yes.
I sincerely had this thought when you rolled in on the TV screen. I was like, ooh, that looks good on Jason.
Romy Ray Stewart, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Should have been.
On it. That's right.
Put like 10 rings on it.
I thought that the bits that we did to show sort of like Jake and his popularity in the school were really fun.
Yeah.
The fact that the reporter was following him around doing interviews and the kids are always clustered around.
Yeah.
I thought the janitor giving him the deluxe locker was actually really, really smart. It was a pretty inventive way to force Miley and Jake to be in direct contact and to create some initial like direct conflict as well.
Right.
Not her just being jealous, but like this is something that directly impacted her. So I thought that was like a pretty fun way of putting them on a collision course. I also really liked that Lily thought that Jake was cute.
Yeah.
It's a totally different color for her. She's usually so tomboyish and so skatery. The fact that she was doing a little puppy dog love.
I like that too.
It
was
so really
cute.
Anytime we pushed the Lily character off into a different place than she normally hung out, like when she did the cheerleading stuff, how much she enjoyed doing the cheerleading stuff. I always like those beats for Emily because it's fun to watch her just play.
Yeah, the Teen Court episode too, where she and guy that was so good.
We quickly learned that she was the best actress of
you could have her do anything.
You could have her do anything, and she was such a professional, and she was so great. Yeah. We always said that Miley has all this personality and has this star appeal. Like Miley's going to make $1 zillion and be the biggest rock star on the planet. Emily's going to win the Emmy.
Yeah.
Right, because she's just such a professional.
Yeah,
we started to realize, oh, we can do anything.
Yeah. So those little beats, anytime you got a chance to see like the different side, it was I love those. So there is a bit of a funny shout out in this episode. When my car won't start, I get really, really frustrated because I'm supposed to go on a date with Jennifer for a Coldplay concert. The reason they put Jennifer in the script was that was my wife at the time.
Yeah.
So show always, like, we tried to shout out family members, favorite teachers, whatever. And so this was like they were trying to do like me a nice solid. And instead, 20 years later, it reminded me that I got divorced. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, honestly, shout out to Jen. You're awesome. Hope you're doing well.
Hi, Jen.
Totally.
She was genuinely a big part of this whole experience. So I was actually like kind of heartwarmed that there was like a little shout out on the script. And then there's a joke that really leapt out to me in this sort of same section when I'm trying to explain to Robbie why there's a scratch on his car. Uh-huh. I start the story and I'm like, well, when I went to go pick up Jennifer, her dad brought out the Rottweiler to make sure the dog had my scent. Yeah. And I'm like, I say it's so matter of fact. Right. It's just like what happens when you take a girl out. Right. They bring the dog out to make sure it has your scent. So I just, those jokes I always thought were like really clever and the things that played better than just like regular kid show.
Right. Yeah. Buried in there for adults.
You know?
Those line deliveries always, like in the last pod that we were talking about, it's just when you found a way to make a twist on that line that made it so much funnier, it was hilarious. Yeah, I love that.
So I love that. And then the tail end of that is, you know, it's the dog's collar that scratches the Porsche. And we get one of our first Billy Racing Dang Flabbit.
Oh, is it?
It's his equivalent of cursing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
So we get a little Dang Flabbit in that section.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
When you were watching it, you were just watching it as a fan for the first time because you hadn't...
I had never seen it before.
You had never seen it before?
No, never.
Was there anything that like specifically leapt out to you like, oh, that...
About that specific scene?
Well, no, just about anything the episode about in general. You're just like, oh, I didn't think they would do that, or I didn't like... Was there anything that felt a little surprising?
What is happening right now?
Here's the best part about this. Later on, you'll come back to this episode. Your reaction of what is happening is literally word for word part of a story about this fart machine. What is happening?
Where is... Oh my God. Was that from the episode with Stupid Cupid?
Do you remember whenever you shot? Married. Whenever you
yeah.
Yes,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whenever you shot.
I remember the fart machine then.
Right.
This is the same fart machine from
yes,
the fart
it is.
Machine.
Okay,
shut
so,
the front door.
No, okay, so not that episode. Not that episode, but earlier on, I think it's in season one somewhere, we did an episode that started a fart machine on stage that Larry,
oh
our
God,
prop guy.
Larry,
yes.
He wouldn't stop doing it.
Yes.
Riley was like so humiliated because she was in that Cupid outfit. Yes. So she already did not look
oh my God.
Good. Uh-huh. That horrible white makeup.
Right.
Sorry, I cut you off in the middle of your story.
No, no. That,
but
no,
he kept
and
doing the fart machine.
Every
she
episode.
Was like, yeah.
Right, exactly. He did yes. that. In almost every episode from the first season to the last.
I had no idea. That was the first time and only
always,
time I'd ever seen it.
Always yeah. stashed somewhere yeah. on the set.
So yeah. I brought one.
Oh my God. I just remember Miley being so mad yeah. because she's in yes. front of a cute guy.
Right.
Whether or not she actually
right.
is into him.
Right.
She was like mortified because she's a teenager
right.
in yep. a horrible yeah. outfit.
And But the, oh my she God, secretly
that
loved that whole thing. Yeah. She
Did
loved
she?
All, yeah.
Oh,
anyway,
that's
funny. Side note, I brought it just to surprise you.
But she was uncomfortable in that particular episode, or that particular
in that outfit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who would be?
I want to ask a question because we're talking about uncomfortable costumes.
Uh-huh.
And we had this conversation before we started shooting. I didn't
My
realize.
My smushed rack?
Yes, I didn't realize. If you know Romy, she's curvy.
Stacked.
She's stacked. All right, stacked. But I didn't know that they
My
taped you down. Because you were talking about.
They didn't tape me down exactly. They just kind of kept putting, like, things on me that would smush them,
yes.
not it. But I would either have, I would basically be a monoboob and then it'd be smushed downwards so that
so you were
there
like
was
a
no
chest
cleavage.
Boob.
Yeah,
or
chest
like
boob.
Stomach boob.
It was like quadruple boob. It was like a little bit, I had little teeny, teeny little boobies there, but then I had like, you can see it in so many.
You're so uncomfortable, Jason.
Let me know when we're done with this section.
Sorry.
No, we're good.
But no, it's fascinating to me because I didn't realize that they had to make you more of a teen, basically.
Well, no,
you know?
It's just like you can't do anything about them unless you completely cover them. They're either up in there or you got to put them away somewhere.
Yeah, that, you're not doing that.
Well, because they're natural, they do smush, you know. Like.
But you must have been so uncomfortable every time we shot. Like, as
uncomfortable as I'm hoping at some point my wife watches this episode, so I'm gonna, I'm not gonna look, I'm not participating.
Anyway, I was shocked at how uncomfortable we made people
yeah.
by the outfits
well,
we put them in.
But genuinely, that was like right. the reoccurring thing. The entire run of the show, I'm sure right. Emily dealt with it
yeah.
as the series went on. Like
right.
every,
yeah.
Tammin probably had to deal with it when she played Sienna, my girlfriend, in the fourth season.
Right.
It was always like, for modesty's sake, for S&P,
right.
for whatever. It
right.
was just like, they can't, nobody can look like a
Right, it was, but it was just a funny little, yeah. I want to say tidbit, but my brain wants to say tidbit.
I know.
I know. God bless you.
All right, let's get this thing back on track. Yep. Let's talk about what we did right, what we did wrong, and what we would do differently.
Sure.
Some of the things I thought we did really right, I think this is a great premise for an episode and an ongoing storyline. The idea that Miley gets a chance to actually see what her life would look like a little bit if she gave up the secret. I think it's it was about the right time in the series to introduce the idea and to let it start to play out a little bit.
Yeah.
So I love that. I love the fact that the show that Jake Ryan is on, everybody loves. It's not just like a girl thing. Oliver is equally as invested in the show as the girls are.
And the teacher. He was super into it.
Yeah. So I love that it really... It made it a little bit more believable that Miley could make the one-to-one comparison of what her life would look like. And Oliver's line of like, I'm going to be this close to a famous person. and Miley's just like, the those were just like really, really great beats. And it actually showed how far Oliver's come in his obsession with Hannah Montana.
Right.
That's so in the rearview mirror for him. He was so obsessed with that celebrity that like now the only thing on his mind is the Jake Ryan thing, which I thought was great. This episode also has a really wonderful example of how good of a physical comedian Mitch was.
Yeah.
When I'm doing buffing the car.
Oh my God, that was so funny.
And he takes it and it just like whips him out of frame.
Yeah.
There's no wires. There's no pull. That's literally just him launching himself across the stage. And it looks so good.
That did look really
funny. He gets vertical at one point where I was nervous.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, he's going to
hurt
himself.
I'm sure he had a little 8-inch crash pad that he was throwing himself onto. Oh,
you know he had a crash pad,
but
like, he did.
But it's still, you've got to sell out to make it look that good.
Yeah, it looks so good.
Yeah.
And then I'm always a suckle. A suckle.
Well, that's a little tidbit.
Damn it. I almost made it through the episode without...
No, you didn't.
Okay, so I'm always... I love to point out Uncle Earl jokes.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm not looking at you anymore, Romy.
I was trying to go for the low-hanging fruit of point out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not low-hanging.
So yeah. At one point, I yell at my car... for not working, and then I immediately say, I'm sorry. And then Billy Ray goes, son, you can apologize all you want, but without a new battery, you'd have an easier time turning over Uncle Earl in his waterbed. And I'm just like, that paints a picture.
Oh, yeah. We got worried after a while, because we didn't cast Koechner until later, right?
Yeah.
We got worried we weren't going to live up to the hype. We were never going to be able to see this guy because of all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then when we had, and then Koechner just made it all. It was amazing.
So
what he
good.
Did.
But anyway, they're literally like my favorite thing. Like I know. The Uncle Earl jokes are such a iconic part of my memory of the show that every time I see one, I got to point it out.
I can 100% tell you that not one of them was mine. Because I love them as much as you do.
Didn't you say it was Steve Meyer who was
Steve Meyer, Jay Demopoulos, a couple of, basically the writer's assistants would always throw in some like little zinger somewhere.
Yeah.
A little Southernism or, you know, something. And a lot of them, and Andrew Green would always throw in something that was surprising to me and made me laugh really hard. And a lot of it was those Uncle Earl isms or the Southern isms, the dang flabbits or those kind
they
of
really
things.
They really are some of my favorite parts of the show. Just like those things, like, I don't know, it is the things that make me remember they're not from here. They're not from Malibu. They're from someplace else. And it was a different way of life. And they got a slightly different point of view. And these were the things that like always... Yeah. Just remind me of that, which was great.
Yeah.
I have some stuff that I liked about it, specifically little teeny things. The Bree Young Takahashi Samuels joke. it's a joke that we always want to make because they do it all the time. Newscasters do it all the time. They say their very American English sounding name, and then they'll say it with their last name in the most flourished accent they can let everyone know that. So this was our play on that joke a little bit.
It feels very much like a Family Guy joke.
Yes.
Like it is something you would see 100% on Family Guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Some of the other things I liked, this was our first Dandruff Danny episode. I loved him.
Mm-hmm.
We got the Jake arc in. I don't know if this story was executed as well as we could have, but it was a win for us just to tell the story in the first place because it started that Jake arc.
Yeah.
I loved, however, the B story and the flipping of roles. I thought that was a win. I thought we executed it well. I was a surprise to me in rewatching it, that how well we kept it. Like, I didn't see the story coming. We didn't tip it at all. And I thought 100%. That was great. And it doesn't really matter to me how fumbly the execution of the... Because the story, really, you're right. When Miley sees what life would have been like when she's tempted by it, is that a good story? That is.
Yeah.
We fumbled it a little bit. But all of it's worth it for Fat Elvis. Like, as soon as Fat Elvis came on, I was like, this
was amazing.
I would have done 100 miles to see that. It worked so well for me.
Yeah,
I loved that.
Put Jason in a costume, like an over-the-top costume with an accent of any kind. And
it was so good.
It was so funny.
I think it's a really cute resolution to the A story, for sure. And I loved the outfits. The thing that jumped out at me, I was like, what a good big brother. For all of the crapping he does on her, like the fact that she's like, all right, I got a problem, and for this solution, you're gonna be Fat Elvis. And he's game. I was like, that's a cool big brother. And I don't know if it's this Elvis. I actually don't think it's this Elvis because I do Elvis twice when we do the other.
When
later
you do the
one,
Dolly one, right?
The Dolly one. The outfit that I'm wearing, I think it's in that one. Now that I think about it, it is the it's actually Nicolas Cage's outfit from Honeymoon in Vegas.
Really?
His name is inside the jumpsuit.
What?
And then they altered, like, they had to cuff the legs up a bunch, obviously, because I'm short. But like, when I saw it, I was like, it's literally Nicolas Cage's jumpsuit from
You have a double Nicolas Cage connection.
Yeah, because one of my first jobs was in National Treasure. I played Nicolas Cage's great-great-great-grandfather in National Treasure.
And then we also in this episode did... It's like our third or fourth Billy Ray Cyrus joke.
Yeah.
This is the most nose one, though, right?
Yeah.
Because literally, he's like, I'm Billy Ray Cyrus. Yeah. With the bowl of us. Did you have a reaction when he was literally just like, and I'm Billy Ray Cyrus? I was like, yes, you are.
Yeah. Like, you're not a bad lookalike. You really literally.
Do moments like that pull you out of it, or do you just go?
No, I love it. Yeah. I love it. Especially with the hair. And that, it was like an exaggerated wig, which I loved.
Yeah, and so for me, I love the Billy Ray Cyrus joke too because it is so meta.
Yeah.
And we can come back to it time and time again. And I mean, it just, I think when the audience is in on the joke, you know, it actually does, I think it's more engaging than it is disengaging.
Yeah.
Honestly. But yeah.
And it's when all the parents whisper to their kids, he really is Billy Ray Cyrus, and he sang a song called
and also when Billy has a joke that he loves, he is so committed to the joke. Yeah. Like, he will nail that joke.
He gets a little impish. He gets a little like...
He does get impish. That's exactly what it is, right? Yeah. He does. He loves it.
I love that man.
There's a drug to getting a laugh, right? It's like taking a drug. And we're all addicted to that rush.
Yeah.
You could see it on his face.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So,
You know, and I loved her, the foil of the famous actor, and her having to confront what it would look like, both the good and the bad. Like, oh, I could come to school today and get breakfast served to me by the creepy lunch lady. You know, like that kind of stuff is the reminder of like what she could have, which propels her forward. Excuse me. But then the being mauled on the beach, right? Yeah. Like all of that stuff. Yes, of course she knows what's going to happen because it happens to her as Hannah Montana all the time, the purse that she gets. But like when she's in the situation as Miley, I thought it's a really nice foil to what life would look like and having to confront that choice that she makes all the time.
Okay. Was there anything else that you...
I loved the B story too.
Yeah.
Like the
yeah.
dynamic between, and because you and Billy Ray, and I remember loving watching those scenes between the two of you because it was always so fun. The key bit, like trying to pull the keys out of his hand and that deadpan look that he would get on his face, like just, it always made me laugh so, so hard that
He genuinely, like the fact that he was so mellow when I was doing the dumbest things around him. I think it really did like make Jackson palatable.
Yeah.
Because if he was a regular spazzy Disney dad as well.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing all that stuff. Like, I think it would just be like, it's too much. But he was so just so
he just
solid.
Put up with your just shit. Put up so, with yeah, it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It was like you see all those videos of, like, you know, the bear and the cub. And the cub's just like chewing on the bear.
I know,
and
just crawling
and,
all
and,
over.
And yeah. The bear's just like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's what it always felt like when I was doing
that's
scenes.
That's hilarious.
With
I remember the very first table read with Billy. He was like so mellow, and everybody else was, you know, up here. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how is this gonna play? And then I watched it, and I was like, wow, he's coming across as like the stability thing.
Yeah.
He's
the stability
rock.
Thing.
Yeah.
Stability
the rock.
Thing.
The
that's
rock.
The term.
He's the port. He's the port of the storm.
My words are gone. Yeah, port of the storm.
Yeah.
Stability.
Stability thing.
We'll point out a couple things that maybe we didn't do quite so
sure.
So right. I genuinely think that it was a mistake that she, with intention, let out the secret. I think she should have blurted it out in a moment of frustration that she was Hannah Montana to the reporter. It just feels off to me. She made the decision to create the secret for a reason, for
right.
a really, really deliberate reason.
Right.
And she's seen even just what the effect of her scarf at school can do from the people losing their minds
right.
and mobbing someone. So the idea that she could reap the benefits, I don't think she's blind to that. But the consequences, she knows.
Right.
So I don't think there's any amount of Lily trying to explain to her, like, what she needs to protect Matt. She just knows.
Right.
So I always felt a little false that she would make that choice. It should have been in the heat of the moment, and then, like, oh, shit, how do I buy this back?
Right. And because the thing, too, is she would get that love and adoration as Hannah Montana. So it can't even come from, like, Lily and Oliver who are fawning over Jake Ryan, because she gets that fawning.
Yeah.
And just because it doesn't happen at school doesn't mean she hasn't experienced it.
Right.
Yeah. So here's the deal with the storytelling. Yes, I agree with you. It's not complete and it's not effective.
It was just that, like, moment I was just like, oh.
But it's the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's all, you're all saying the exact same thing, which is she knows all this information already.
Right.
She's not learning anything new about her secret or the rewards of giving up her secret. So yeah, your fix is right. What if it's not about her realizing again? We really told this story so that the audience could feel what Miley already knew, right?
Oh, okay.
So the audience could feel that, right? Because the audience didn't know it. Miley knew it, but the audience, we hadn't shown the audience. The problem with that is then you have to go one step deeper for Miley. You have to have, the story has to be about something. Right?
Yeah.
Miley already knows what we're showing the audience, and we didn't go there. We either didn't dial it back, so it was just a goofy thing where she let the secret slip. Maybe her friends save her.
Yeah.
We didn't do any of it. We just sort of rehashed what we told, a story that had already been told.
Although I do, it does soften it for me, the idea that, like, even though we've explained why this is why she keeps the secret, actually reinforcing for the audience, let them see, like, I buy that as, like, a pretty valid excuse. Like, this, it bothers me less having you say that. I would love for it to take that one more step where she does maybe learn a,
like,
little something new, but
there's
but
a pitch,
that's a good reason.
There's a pitch I'm just thinking of now that you haven't heard yet.
Where
but
were
what
you
if,
20 years ago?
Yeah, where was I 20 years ago? What if the story, what if the B story wasn't the you know, the car in any way? What if it was Hannah Montana, not being Hannah Montana, out in the open, is hurting Jackson in some way? What if this is a story of Jack? So, because when you go to make the sacrifice to save her from blurting out the truth, what if you're giving something up doing that? What if you're like, if you told people you were Hannah Montana, I would get XYZ. And you're begging her to tell the secret. And then she accidentally lets the secret out and you're like, yes, I get what I need. But in the end, family first. And you save her, giving up what you... And then the story is
actually,
about...
You know what? Yeah. And that would set up later with... I mean, that would set up later in season 4 when she actually does have to give up the...
And
yeah,
there's a lot of these
Sienna,
elements in the Sienna story.
Right,
line,
yeah, true.
It's like your secret now is not... just doing something for you. It is actively ruining something that's very important to me.
Right.
Right.
But that is a Jackson story, and I don't know if early in season one we were ready for a Jackson story.
Probably,
but
yeah.
That's an example of how we could have told a deeper story in this framework, still shown the audience what we needed to show them, but told a deeper story. So what we did wrong is I don't think we spent enough time developing this story because we were too busy with the overall arc.
Yeah.
And trying to figure
out.
Wanting
to get the Jake Ryan, wanting to get the set up a relationship.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That being said, it's still like a really good.
I love it.
I had a couple of other things that we did wrong. In the beach scene when they recognize Jake Ryan, why is knockoff Amber and Ashley there? Why isn't Amber and Ashley going? It is literally an Asian American girl and a black girl.
Like a younger version. I thought they were like
knockoff dollar store Amber and Ashley going, look, it's Jake Ryan. Why wasn't it actually them?
Yeah, because they were already there.
They were already in the episode.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
I didn't know what you meant by that comment before.
I didn't know.
I was like, wait, but they were in it. Yeah.
I mean, they're fine.
Sure, but like give our girls...
Right. Either give our girls something or don't have exact were those their doppelgangers, but the people who do the camera blocking.
The stand-ins?
The stand-ins. No. Were those their stand-ins?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know what they were.
Do you have anything that you did that you would say we did wrong?
Just the creepy lunch lady. Somebody was going to mention.
Oh my God, she is creepy. Pat.
Yeah, Pat the lunch lady was just like... It's weird when, like, the person, she did a great job, don't get me wrong, but it would be different if she were, like, coming after Billy Ray, right? Like, her, like, lusting and getting pie-eyed over a teen boy,
14, 15-year-old boy. Yeah.
Like, that to me was just...
Yeah, I put that in the what I would do different.
Yeah, no.
I'd be like, maybe we tweak that one a little bit.
Yeah,
but she was just too much like getting
on. Yeah.
But if it was somebody like, you know, it would have been like, because kids work in the cafeteria. It could have been a kid that worked in the cafeteria, but it wouldn't have. Maybe it wouldn't have been as funny.
Yeah, something else I would have done differently, I think, is just there's a moment at the end, back of the classroom where Oliver and Miley are talking, and she's complaining about the Jake stuff, and literally there's people 6 inches away from them.
Uh-huh.
Like Dandruff Danny is literally right there.
Right.
It's another one of those like don't talk about the Hannah Montana situation so directly when there's people that it's literally impossible for them to not hear what you're saying.
Yeah,
right.
No, exactly.
So like I would have like potentially just fixed the spacing there a little bit.
Sure.
So that wasn't so egregious. I will say the Dandruff Danny blowing the dandruff is really gross.
Yeah.
It's funny, but it's like, it grossed me out a little bit. So.
Yeah.
Can I go back to something that was good? Because I totally forgot. That little kid in the school scene, the little kid with the glasses, when Jake Ryan is telling them, you know, I want you to think of me as someone who's just like you. And he gets all like perked up. He's like, really?
Yeah.
it's only one word, and I was like, that kid, bravo. I tried to find you. I don't know who you are. Couldn't figure out your character's name. Wanted to see if you were an actor.
Yeah.
Did well.
But either way,
that was funny.
Crushed it.
Now back to what we did
wrong.
What we did different. I would make Jake a little bit more sympathetic at points. Yeah. I think we went for comedy ahead of story, which is a trap we fall into a lot.
Right.
Less of a cartoon, a little bit more real. I agree with you on the Miley giving up the secret. She knows better. She just knows better.
Yeah.
And try to find a deeper place for the story to go. That's all.
And because, you know, she does, Bree comes up to the door and says, I've been doing a little digging around, and Hannah Montana lives in this area. So it's also like, well, if she can dig that easily, and I realize she's a reporter, but it's also, you know, there is that, here we go with the suspension of disbelief in terms of the whole secret.
Yeah. But as a whole, I think this is a fun episode.
It's what was nice too for me was like the kickoff of what we know is to come, and also because some fun stuff for me is coming up.
Yeah, this lays the foundation for some stuff coming up
that ends up becoming a big
part of the show.
Yeah,
right. We lay the foundation for a 4-season romantic, you know, triangle.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So let's start to wind down here a little bit. We got a couple of audience questions. at Cody Williams 72002. I said that in the weirdest way possible.
Yeah.
Asked on YouTube. Here's a question for all of you. What was your reaction to Miley receiving her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Yeah, my initial reaction was the Miley Hannah episode, you know, and coming back to that, and thought it was an interesting life imitating art moment. I thought it was really cool. I was wishing, and I know it would have never happened, but I was just begging that when they did that big reveal that Pancake Buffalo would be there. Because Pancake Buffalo, if you see that episode, Pancake Buffalo is the Muppet that got the star that she wanted at the location to. Or at least if Miley in her acceptance speech had said, you know, suck it, Pancake Buffalo, I got the right spot. Like, I was hoping for a nod
there
to the episode.
There is no way she ever remembers that episode.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But my initial reaction was, she deserves it, first of all.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting, the life imitating art moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I always think back to like the very, very beginning and when she's just this tiny little like 13-year-old. I remember seeing her first concert where it was like her and like two backup dancers and like six parkhand lights, and that was like the whole performance. And to see how far she's come, I mean, as an actress over the course of our series, but then also just, you know, as a international friggin' superstar, it is really, I don't know, it tugs at my heartstrings a little bit to see this little girl. And if you, on the first day of shooting, if you'd have been like, this girl's going to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, you'd go,
right?
Cute.
Yeah.
It's good to dream.
Dream big.
Yeah.
But like, she absolutely deserves it. And I was just like so happy for her.
Yeah. Me too. And she looked incredible. She looked just stunning.
Yeah. I may have shed a tear. Yeah. But that would come as no surprise to anybody.
Hey, Shani, you might want to step out of the room. You're going to shed a tear.
Shani,
here.
Listen.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we had a special title for
Well, you know.
We talked about it.
We had zombies before zombies, and I think you understand that in creating Zombie High and all the coincidences that are in that, we did have zombies before, you know. For them?
We did. They single white femaled us, I guess.
They did.
A movie from the 90s.
Yes, where the single white female roommate, where the roommate was so in love with her roommate that she became the roommate. They were so
it
in
totally
love
applies.
With our
yep.
idea,
sure.
they became us.
I'm going to go ahead and answer my little sweet niblet from the opening. So Jake Ryan appears in how many episodes? Anybody know the answer?
I do not.
If you read the script, you'd know.
I know the answer because I looked here, but
13.
I didn't
know.
13. The answer is 13. And honestly, like, that's more than I thought.
Yeah.
I did not think he was in that big of a percentage of episodes. So
so
good for Cody. Bonus round. Cody is one of four Hannah Montana cast members to participate in Dancing with the Stars. Mm-hmm. Does anybody know the other three?
I know Billy.
I know Billy Ray.
So Billy Ray Cyrus.
Oh my God, I straight forgot about Billy.
I remember Billy.
Can you guess any either of the other two?
Did Shanika do it? Anna Maria?
No.
No.
We got Joey Fatone.
Yeah, Joey Fatone.
Oh, I didn't realize he was on Hannah Montana.
Joey did an episode of Hannah Montana.
Okay.
And then Donny Osmond.
Donny Osmond did an episode of Hannah
Montana. Donny Osmond did an episode of Hannah Montana.
Okay.
And then can you guess the placements? We got Billy Ray Cyrus. He was fifth.
Yeah,
he
was fifth.
Yeah, to much to his chagrin.
Much
that
to his
is
chagrin.
True.
Yeah,
Cody Lindley finished fourth.
Really?
Wow.
Okay.
Joey Fatone was actually on twice.
First
time
made it really far, right?
Yeah.
Did he win?
First time he was second place.
Okay.
And then the second time he got bounced in the second week. So
Sorry, Joey.
Although one of my favorite guests
was
really fun.
Partner?
Yeah, he was.
I think he
it
might
was
have
Cheryl
been.
The first time. I remember they danced to "Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy." Because
I'd never heard that song
before, and I thought that was the cutest thing ever.
And then Donny Osmond is actually the one and only winner from our group.
Wow.
He won in 2009.
He did.
Wow.
So those are our four.
One trivia thing. Easter egg. Do you guys remember that set deck put one of the paddles from Dancing with the Stars in the shelving unit next to the kitchen with the number 10.
Oh, as after Billy
Billy
was
got
on the show.
Was on the show.
It was
because he never got a 10.
It was the season after Joey Fatone was on and won second place that they asked me to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
But we were
okay.
still in the middle of shooting Hannah, and I was like, schedule-wise.
And it was really rough for Billy to be on.
Yes.
And it was a lot, because it's a ton of work to learn all that stuff.
So much.
And we were shooting. Yeah. And he was not happy about the amount of work. It was two jobs, two full-time jobs. So I would imagine, I don't know why you said no, but I would imagine Billy's experience of like, if you can't do it during hiatus, don't do it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
He was exhausted.
Yes. He was exhausted.
We did something
today. We did it, guys!
I'm not sure what it was, but we did something. Thanks for hanging out with us yet again for another one of our silly little babow episodes. If you want to watch the pod, please subscribe to Best of Both Our Worlds YouTube channel. Leave comments, ring the bell, share with a friend. We love all that stuff. It helps us out a ton. Follow the show on Instagram at Best of Both Our Worlds Podcast, on TikTok at Best of Both Our Worlds, and on X at Babow Podcast. I don't know why we do that. And then please check us out on our website, bestofbotharworlds.com. You get a link to all of our episodes there. We've got merch. We've got cool behind-the-scenes stuff. So definitely check that out. This has been Best of Both Our Worlds, created and hosted by Jason Earls, Douglas Danger Liebline, I'll say it right for you this time, and Shannon Flynn, executive producer Renee Colvert, produced by Jeffrey Murphy, filmed and edited and finished at Quest Pacifica, with special thanks to Katie Boyum and Lee Anthony Smith. Original music by Joe Serafini.
Yay, Joe!
Social media strategy by Shelby Stahl and Beloved Social. And also a huge thank you to our guest, Romy, for hanging out with us.
Guest idiot!
Woo! And would you please potentially take us out with a little...
Good day, Daddy. I said good day.
Woo!
Woo! Woo!
Yeah!
Yay! Woo! Thanks, Romy.
Yay,
never gets old.
Never gets old.
Best of both our farts.
It's the best.